Welcome to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community. And One South Coast Chamber, right here on FM 95.9, AM 1480 WSAR.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber, and I'm joined today on the Education Spotlight by Bob Beatty, the Executive Director of Atlantis Charter School, and Robert Perry, the Career Academy Director of Atlantis Charter School in Fall River. Welcome, guys.
Thanks very much for having us.
Appreciate you having us.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys. It's been a while since we've had Atlantis Charter School on the show, and we're excited. Bob, why don't we start by you just kind of giving us an update on Atlantis and where things are and what's happening.
Sure. Yeah, it's an exciting time for us. We are headed into our next charter renewal cycle next year. Atlantis was one of the original charter schools opened in Massachusetts following the 1993 Education Reform Act. So next year we'll be going into our 30th year. There were 13 schools approved back in 1995 following that act, and Atlantis was one of them. And in that time, we've grown to a K-12 charter district that's serving about 1,300 students. Next year is a really exciting anniversary for us, all the work that we've done over the last couple of years, you know, especially recovering from the pandemic and continuing to grow our program has been really exciting. We'll talk in a little bit about the work that Robert does with the Career Academy, which really differentiates Atlantis Charter School from other programs in the way that it tries to connect students to local industry and higher education. There are phenomenal programs in our area that approach college and career readiness in different ways. And, you know, we think that that's a hallmark of a good educational environment, is you have different programs that families can choose from that, may fit their child's needs better than another program. So we don't duplicate what other programs in our area do. We work closely with them. There's a lot of collaboration down here in Fall River in the education landscape, and that's been a really important initiative for us for a long time now, is to make sure that there is that collaboration so that we're sort of part of this effort that raises the boat for all kids, not just the kids who are attending one particular school. So our high school, we moved into our new campus in 2017, and our high school, we began planning and opening our high school in 2014. The high school has been around for almost 10 years now, have graduated a number of wonderful kids that have gone on to do exciting things and have come back to Atlantis, and that's been really nice to see. In particular, I keep sort of teasing what Robert will speak about, kids coming back having been through our Career Academy program and saying that they were really feeling like they were really well prepared for college, that they were really well prepared for the careers that they're looking to go into. So we're really excited about everything that's going on right now, excited about this 30th anniversary coming up.
I did not realize it was 30 years. I'm sure you've probably told me that over the last few years, but I just it didn't seem like it was 30 years. That's phenomenal. And you mentioned the collaboration, and that's how we got together. Was the chamber and the education committee, and we're excited to work with you and with all the schools. But we really do see a lot of collaboration, not for profits, the business community, higher education. It's a lot of fun. I always tell people in the text of my job, working in the education committee is one of the things I enjoy the most. It just, you get so many different people with so many different backgrounds, perspectives, and help us with their needs. And I'm looking forward to Robert speaking shortly, because we just had a great call with Robert last week talking about internships and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to hear more about that. And the building, it's been a couple of years since I was in the building, but the high school building is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a beautiful building, and the campus itself is gorgeous over there. And I need to get back over there.
We'd love to have you anytime. Yeah, we had the privilege. I'm struggling with the exact right word, but it was a unique privilege of moving into a new high school building and starting a high school at the same time. And so what that allowed us to do at, when we were a K to 8 school and wanted to move to a high school, we were in this really an enviable position of being able to say, okay, let's look at education right now and let's talk to people that are receiving these students and have them tell us what are you seeing among kids coming out of secondary education that you wish was done differently. And we spoke to colleges and said, what are you seeing in your freshmen that's making you think that high schools should be handling curriculum instruction something differently than they are right now? And so when we were planning the high school, the first thing we did was reach out to the chamber at the time and then other local business leaders and other local senior leadership in local higher education institutions and just ask that question. And so immediately, in fact, this is, I've probably told the story every time I've come on this show, but at the time, there was a gentleman in the Chamber of Commerce that said, the biggest issue that I see is kids coming into internships or even coming out of college and they don't have any of the soft skills to be successful in business. So they don't really know how to, you know, write an appropriate email or appropriate response. They don't understand certain elements of professional courtesy. In that moment, our first class for our business academy was business soft skills. Just that was it. We heard directly from the people who are receiving these kids, and the first class that we jotted down that we needed to then build curriculum instruction around was business soft skills. And then that's how we took, that's the approach that we took to building out the rest of that Career Academy program, was talking to people and asking them what are they seeing and what did they wish high schools would do differently, and then that's how we built our high school.
Well, I'm glad to hear you talk so strongly about the business soft skills, because that's still a challenge, and I think it's going to be a challenge for a long time. And having gone through COVID, with kids being home for so many hours during the day, I think it's that makes it an even greater challenge. And we do see that, and businesses still talk about that. And I always talk about showing up on time, and as you guys know, Rick Kidder just retired from the chamber, and Rick's personality was one that would show up like a half hour early, and mine is more like I show up at 8:59.59 with my hair on fire, ready to go.
Yeah.
But that personality comes across because there's less chat time beforehand, and it's usually so even I've had people who work for me who are like can you not do that, and I'm like, but I'm on time, and they're like, I know, but can you not do that, because it just like we have no idea what kind of mood you're in if you come in, like if you know when you come into a meeting, if you're going to lead a meeting or anything like, and so I try not to do it.
Right.
I always try not to do it, but Rick, if we were both going to the same meeting, Rick would be like, don't worry about it. He's going to be here in 60 seconds. And, he'd look at his watch and be, 60 seconds. And I would make it. That's the thing. I always make it. But occasionally traffic hits you, and so it's not a good thing. Yeah. But those are the kind of soft skills that you really need to understand, and the kids need to understand, which are very, very important. And like you said, writing an email and and even how to call in sick or something like that,
is
what's the proper, what's the proper etiquette for that, just so people know what's happening.
Right.
Because we have so many businesses that they're interested in the kids. They would love to have the kids, but it's also an investment of the business's time.
Yeah, sure.
And money, because if it's a situation where the kids are getting paid, but even if it's not a paid internship, it's still an investment on the part of the kids, on the part of the employer, because they have people's time invested in it. So, but it's a the soft skills are so important. In my prior life, when I was at the chamber in Troy, New York, we were talking about, we didn't get there, but we had actually talked about starting our own kind of academy for soft skills for young employees, because it was just such a problem. Like, we never actually got there, but we had talked about it, we were working on it, and it was it was interesting because the more we talked about it, the more we realized that the employers were not going to pay for people to develop that skill.
Right.
They figured we'll just take advantage of it and think of the time, and we'll do it on our own.
Right.
That way, they're ready to work for us.
Right.
And which, you know, yeah. is good or bad. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Robert Perry from Atlantis Charter School and Bob Beatty from Atlantis Charter School.
Welcome back to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community, and One South Coast Chamber.
Welcome back. I'm Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber, and I'm joined by Bob Beatty from Atlantis Charter School and Robert Perry from Atlantis Charter School. So, Robert, why don't you tell us what's happening with the Career Academy?
Yeah, a lot of exciting things happening. So, first off, just want to introduce myself, Robert Perry. I started in a very interesting time at Atlantis Charter. I started in 2020 during the pandemic. So, I was hired in August of 2020. So, we went that whole first year basically remote. So, you can imagine the trials and tribulations going through that, obviously navigating through the school community, trying to meet new people, staff, faculty, and make that connection with your students, as opposed to looking at connecting activities and career specific activities for students who are in their house at the time. So definitely an interesting time, but that has ultimately shaped how we've developed the program out since then. We've had a lot of exciting developments in how we want to expose students to not only post-secondary, but to industry skills and industries that they probably have never been exposed to. We take a really deep look into labor markets and where a lot of jobs will be focusing on and what those skills are that need to be acquired in order to fill those jobs and positions. And I think we've done a great job as a whole community with developing curriculum around that. That also goes to our stakeholders, obviously connecting with chambers and soliciting feedback from local businesses, local post-secondaries, and just kind of seeing what, again, those skills and essential skills that are necessary to fill the labor market of tomorrow. Having a forward-thinking mindset is very important for us because at this point, like I said, COVID totally changed the game overall. So I think the way we've been able to develop over the past 3 years since COVID has been remarkable. And then obviously developing those relationships with our local and community partners has been flourishing.
What does a student have to do to be eligible to be an intern?
So the unique thing about our program is every student is in a career academy no matter what. So as long as you're enrolled in our high school, you will be in a career academy. So just a little bit of background. We start our career academy at ninth grade, where all of our students go into a ninth grade exploratory program. So in that ninth grade exploratory program, they will learn the basics of all of the five pathways that we offer within Atlantis Charter School. Those five pathways include STEM manufacturing, business entrepreneurship, teaching and social services is under the same, social service umbrella. We also have medical health care. And then, did I say business entrepreneurship already?
Yeah. Arts, culture, and design.
It's now called media arts, which falls under our information designation. So, yeah, so
I do remember you talking about those five categories, and those are great categories, and they're really great categories. I mean, you talk about medical and health, That is, healthcare is one of the categories of business that has just really, really been impacted negatively. So many people just they don't want to work in that environment. There's just there's so many females that have left the job market. And, you know, so many of them were CNAs and LPNs, and, the healthcare industry is working really, really hard to move the needle to get those folks back. And I know when we talk to our folks at St. Anne's and South Coast Health, and they're really working really hard, and they're trying to be creative to help in those fields. But you should definitely talk to them.
Yeah, no,
for
sure.
The healthcare side of it. And I think I said to you that you should be talking to Ashley Okino on the arts and culture side of the world. She's she runs FRAC, which is Fall River Arts and Culture Coalition, which is a very similar committee or coalition to what our education committee is. And she's the executive director of FRAC, but she's doing a great job. She's really doing a great job. Right now she's working with the Fall River Public Schools, and they have a program, an after school program, where I think it's about 20 students are in the after school program that takes place at the Narrows. And it's all about arts and culture. And this year they brought music into it as well. And it's a middle school program. At least it started as a middle school program. You'd think I should know exactly but it started as a middle school program. But it's a great program. But it actually works with all sorts of different people in the arts and culture world. The murals, as you see more murals going up in Fall River, if you look at the murals on the parking garage, on the Pierce Street parking garage, Ashley worked with folks to get that done, and they did a fantastic job. In fact, they just about a week ago released a video of the whole process, which was really, really cool. But it's, you should definitely talk to Ashley.
No, I would definitely love that contact. Sounds like a great program.
Yeah, I can connect you there, and you guys can figure out how it may or may not work. I won't get involved in those details. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what you just shared about healthcare was a lot of our thought process when we were designing the program. 2012, 13, 14, it was a pretty tight labor market. Or it was not that positive a labor market, and the perceived wisdom in some areas was that there were no jobs down here. But the data didn't support that there were jobs. They were available in careers that required a little bit more education, licensing, that kind of thing. So there were jobs in healthcare. Mm-hmm. There were jobs in green energy. The issue was that kids weren't coming out of the South Coast area prepared for those kind of jobs.
Right.
So that was a lot of what we did around building the program. Was really, I don't want to oversell us, but we really had this vision of supporting economic development in this region. Mm-hmm. Looking at the South Coast, looking at what industries are available here and are in need of highly skilled workers, and then building the program around that.
And that's why we're involved in education. Is Nick Chris was one of the founders of our education committee, and Nick always said you got to be able to measure how you're moving the needle. And he always says, yes, it's an important issue, especially at the very young ages. But these kids, 18 years later, are coming out, and they need to be ready to work, or ready to continue their education, or do both. And it's very important to do it that way. And I think I've been here about 6 years now, and I think the tides had turned. But I really think that the tide's really coming in now, in that, the combination of what UMass Dartmouth does, what Bristol Community College offers, and how they work with the schools and talk to the schools, I think those things are phenomenal, and the opportunities that they create. You know, I mean, it starts with, like, the chamber. We're having our board meeting tomorrow at NAWI, the National Offshore Wind Institute. That's just a phenomenal program that if you could ever get your kids to go take a class trip, they you should do it because it's a great, it's a really cool place.
But those are the type of exposures that we're trying to have for our students, different industries that they may have not been exposed to or just not aware about that are, again, flourishing, that may be the way of the future in the next 10 to 15 years, which is going to be when they're going to be in these industries looking for these jobs.
Exactly. And we'll be happy to work with you to, you know, obviously you can go right to Laura Douglas, but we can also connect you to the folks that are right at NAWI. But that's like, that's an example of the community, and it took a lot of money. So our state legislators really stepped up as well. But that's a great program, and it's right here. And, you know, the jobs in the offshore wind industry are here. And so we love to hear there's really good jobs for kids to stay here. And you know, that's a key part of economic development. We're going to take a break, and we'll come right back on that thought.
Welcome back to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community, and One South Coast Chamber.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber, and I'm joined on the Education Spotlight by Bob Beatty and Robert Perry from Atlantis Charter School, and we're having a really good conversation about the Career Academy, of which Robert is the director. And we were just talking about, you know, jobs and how the kids get to learn, you know, they get to see the great jobs that are available right here in this marketplace, which is fantastic. So we'll connect you with the offshore wind, with the National Offshore Wind Institute, because I think it's, you know, as long as there's, I don't know if there's limits on who can visit there or not. Sometimes there's age limits, but we'll figure all that out for you. Because it's a great program. But really what I think it does is it shows kids that there's great jobs that are available. And they're very high paying, you know, when the kids, they get the training, the certification, and they can stay right here where they can afford to live. You know, I know of one guy who started at Diamond, got his co-op at Gold Medal Bakery, then went to Wentworth, and he wanted to stay in Boston, but he realized, you know what, I should just keep working at Gold Medal because the pay is great, the cost of living down here is much better, and I'll just, you know, I'll live with my parents for a couple months, but then I'll get my own place and I'll be all ready to rock and roll. And it's, you know, that's what we want to see. We want to see the people who, you know, they go out, they get their education, they get their professional certifications wherever it's necessary, and have them stay is really, really exciting. So Robert, why don't you just kind of continue and talk about STEM and the five pathways. So what do the kids do with those five pathways?
So part of their quote unquote pathway to through ICP, they have six specialized courses that are all semesterized. So it goes across the span of 3 years. As I mentioned, they go through that all year long exploratory course. At the end of that exploratory course, they have a choice of their academy that they would like to go into. So usually at the end of their freshman year, around May, it consists of three components: a small short essay, a recommendation from their career exploratory teacher, and then also it's a short project. So it has to be like an industry connected project or worldly connected project. And that happens during their exploratory year. So a lot of the exploratory stuff is project-based learning, so we can see the creativity of the student, but also see where they kind of engage with the curriculum best.
That's great. So how many kids actually have internships?
So this year we have a smaller class. We're at about 70% of our senior class this year. So our students don't engage in internships until their final semester of their senior year. So they start, we usually let our students out into the community. All of our Career Academy classes for their for seniors are at the end of the day. So we allow their allow them out of the school building around 1:30 during their last period class, and their internships usually go from 1:30 to about 3:30 at their respective sites. We've been creative in creating internship opportunities in-house. So with our media arts department, we have a few interns that work with our communications department within Atlanta Charter. We have our education department, our education academy. Our interns work, obviously, we're a K through 12 institution. We have interns that go into our lower school that work with K through 3, grades K through 3, as teacher assistants for their internships. So we've been creative in how we've been exposing students to internship opportunities outside of the community and within Atlantis. So it's been exciting just trying to bridge that gap between learning and actual soft skills, hands-on training.
What industries are you finding are the most success in getting the businesses to participate in the program?
I would say definitely education and medical healthcare. So I kind of wanted to piggyback on what you were discussing earlier with like addressing labor market and labor market issues. So obviously Fall River has a ton of healthcare providers within the city. And as you mentioned, there's a real need for healthcare providers with the, throughout Fall River. So we've seen that we've getting a lot of feedback and a lot of industries within healthcare that are more open to taking our students and exposing them, because again, in the hopes that we can develop them for potential job opportunities down the line. So I think the healthcare industry has been very much open to exposing students at the high school level to opportunities and exposure.
That's good to hear, because as we were talking about earlier, That's an extremely important industry, and they need the workers.
Yeah, and likewise with education, we're looking for a lot of qualified teachers, a lot of qualified paraprofessionals. So after COVID, those two industries really took a hit. Obviously, with remote learning, we saw that learning can go a lot different than we've conventionally saw prior to. Right. So I think that is one of the kind of gaps in the industry where we can be kind of sliding our students into for where the need is needed.
Are you seeing the students that have the internships, are you seeing them turn those into summer jobs, or when they go to college, if they still live in the area where they're able to maintain the job as well?
It's interesting that you said that. We have had a few students who have so we had a student last year that was working with People's Inc. as an intern that took on a full-time job over the summer, but now is working part-time still with People's Inc. and going to school full-time. We had another young lady that was working for a physical therapist. That was interning for a physical therapist. That internship then budded into employment, full-time employment throughout the summer until she was able to onboard at her next level when she went post-secondary. So yeah, we do see that we are making real headway with these community partners, and they're seeing that these students are prepared and ready to engulf themselves into the industry. So,
well, that's exciting. It's really exciting to hear that, because I know, speaking on behalf of the employers, they love it when they can invest, you know, they like to invest to help the schools and help the kids, but they also like to see it if it can come back to them, and it really has a mutual benefit.
For sure.
Those things are incredibly important to the businesses. And we've got, we had a meeting last year where one of our employers said to the career career technical education director in New Bedford, had said to him, I have so many internships, you can't possibly fill them all.
And there's
a willingness there. There's a willingness to work, and there's a willingness to figure it out. How does transportation work for this?
Yeah, so transportation's obviously a barrier for students that don't have reliable transportation or licenses. So that is something that we kind of run into. We've actually had a grant last year that we received that provided us money to put towards bus passes for the students to get out in the industry. But we have big ideas around potentially getting internship vans and drivers as the program expands more, as we take on more internship opportunities. So we are looking into trying to bridge that gap between internship opportunities and transportation. So that has been something that has been in discussion ever since we've come back from COVID. We're definitely moving towards that direction. Like I said, we're working on some grant opportunities. There's a lot of things that go into that, but we're definitely working towards that.
Now, what area, like how far away from Atlantis, if we kind of drew a circle, Atlantis in the middle, how far away are the employers?
Ideally, everyone is in Fall River. So if I had to guess, I would say within a 3-5 mile radius, not too far.
Sort of like Swansea and...
The physical therapist that we have under our, I don't want to say contract, that is holding one of our interns is in Swansea, but outside of that, majority of our internship placements are in Fall River.
Well, that's good. That makes the concept of having a van a little bit easier.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So they're not quite as far away.
And sorry to cut you off, but that has been a barrier for us because there are so many opportunities that we could expose our students to that are outside of Fall River, because of the transportation being a barrier. We're not able to get our students there on a consistent basis. So we've kind of changed to how we've manage those relationships. So it may not be an internship opportunity, but it may be a job shadow opportunity where we just go for one day with a group of students as opposed to one student going on a work schedule, or maybe having that industry partner come and speak to our students about what their industry is and what certain skills are that entail them being in that industry. So it's just being creative in how you present the content and how you present it to the partners. But I think I keep kind of honing in on this word, exposure is the biggest part of our career academy.
Well, it is. And I think, you know, thinking out of the box and having employers come and talk to the kids, if the employer has the right person with the right personality, that can be a great opportunity for the kids to learn and ask questions. And then, of course, job shadowing, the more the kids get into the buildings and see what's happening, and talk to actual employees and see who's working there and seeing how it all comes together, is that can be very successful as well. Because you never know. Sometimes a student might go to do a job shadow and then come back, and then, you know, on the weekend they're talking to their uncle who's not necessarily part of how they get to school every day, and they say, oh my God, I saw this would be so cool. And the uncle says, well, I'll give you a ride.
Right.
you never know. Right. You never know how those things come together. Or getting to a radio station that's in Somerset, you know. So we're going to take another break, and we'll come back with Robert Perry and Bob Beatty from Atlantis Charter School.
Welcome back to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community. And One South Coast Chamber.
I'm Mike O'Sullivan, and I'm on the Education Spotlight, hosted by Bay Coast Bank. And I'm with Robert Perry and Bob Beatty from Atlantis Charter School. And we're having a great conversation about the Career Academy. So, Robert, why don't you tell us about some of the great events that you've had recently.
Yeah, so we had a busy last couple of weeks leading into the April vacation. Into the February vacation. Last week we held the Credit for Life Fair at ACS. So this is our second year running it. And the Credit for Life Fair is just a fair for students to learn financial literacy. So it's an online platform where students create an online account where they get they pick a occupation. Based on that occupation, they get a checkings account, a savings account, and the basic premise is for them to have to pay bills across 12 different industries. The cool part about it is we have actual industry partners that come in that are collecting their funds. So we have a rent housing table, we have a transportation table, we have an entertainment table. They learn how to write checks. So it was a really cool event. We had all of our junior class participate in it, which is about 80 students. We had close to 100% completion rate. Don't have those official numbers yet, waiting for Base Coast to kind of get back to me with that. But it was a really good turnout. All of the industry partners that showed up were really impressed by our students. One thing that we tried to press with our students prior to going into it, obviously to have fun with it, but to learn from this experience and understand how to manage money, where your money is going to, where you can kind of trim the fat and where you can kind of splurge at is very important. But I think the biggest thing for our students was, again, the exposure part, learning what all of these industry partners do in their respective industries, but also networking. So obviously we're talking about looking towards internship opportunities, just simple basic soft skills like introducing yourself, shaking hands, looking somebody in the eye, asking the right questions in terms of industry has gone a really long way with us building those relationships. And again, the industry partners seeing that our students are very responsible and ready to kind of dive into those industries.
That's a lot of great stuff. I've heard people from different financial institutions talk about the concept of credit for life, mm-hmm. and you think you have a basic understanding. I didn't realize how in depth it was, as you just described.
Yeah.
And kids learning to write a check today. I'm curious. Do they ask what would I need to write a check for? Because I know my youngest is 28 years old, and he gets referred to a lot when I do this in television. He gets referred to a lot. But at 28 years old, I'm not sure if he's ever actually written a check. He knows how to write a check, but I don't think he's ever actually written a check. And that's just a cultural change.
Yeah.
Because when I have to order checks, like, you used to have to order like 300, 600 checks. Bob, you probably remember that. Robert, I'm not sure. You're a little younger than us. Now I think I write like two checks a month.
Right. Maybe.
If two, and one of them annoys me because I'd rather do it online, but they won't let you pay online.
Right.
And that's just, and I'm 61. I don't hide my age. I'm 61, and I'd rather pay my bills online. Yeah. And it's just, it's easier, it's quicker, at least to me. But so when you said writing a check, I I'm sure the banks don't mind the checks, but
yeah.
But it is something the kids need to learn, because you do run up against companies that won't.
That's right.
That will not. Yeah. And then, of course, there's, Venmo and all that kind of stuff. And, you have to does Credit for Life include teaching the kids how to really identify potential problems like cybersecurity type issues when they are?
So interesting enough, it actually does bring in different scenarios. So for instance, a student may go pay a bill with the platform, and then next day we say, oh, you got into a car accident. So now you have to kind of plan for that. It was money that you never had anticipated coming out of your account, but you have to plan for it. So they do throw little tidbits at you that make you plan for emergency type situations. But I think it's, which makes it interesting because those things do come up in real life. You what your checking account says is not what you have or what you're worth at this right. point. So I think them having that understanding of that is very important, and understanding the savings aspect of it. So a lot of the students were surprised with how much savings they had left based on the lifestyle they wanted to live or the job that they had through the platform. But again, it's just to bring it full surface for them to be, again, I keep saying the word, but exposed to what real life may be potentially, and how to really read money and to identify where their money's going on a monthly basis.
That's so important. It is. It's so, so important. And it's, you know, you can, even paying your bills online, even if the money might come out a little quicker, you still, like, if you have auto bill pay, you better know it's coming out, mm-hmm. or you could have a bigger problem. Yeah. So, the kids do need to learn that. So, Robert, you also mentioned during the break that you had an event with St. Anne's Hospital in Fall River. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Also last week, St. Anne's had a medical health care day, career day for students. It was myself. It was Atlantis Charter, Argosy Charter, Case, and there was one more school. Oh, Somerset Berkeley. So they had 10 students from all four of those schools participate in it. Predominantly students in the medical healthcare pathway. So we had 10 of our students participate in that career day, where we had a couple of physicians come in, we had some dietitians come in, we had some oncologists, nurses come in and just talk about their respective fields, the educational path that it took, any certifications, and just kind of hone in on what it takes to get into certain pathways within medical healthcare. I think it was really important for students to understand that or to be in part of that so they can see the different industries within the broader medical healthcare industry. Also, with that being said, we had some surgeons that came in that helped us do some simulation surgery machinery.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really cool. It was very in depth. And we thank St. Anne's Hospital for being a valued partner at this point. We also have a number of interns that will be interning this spring with St. Anne's Hospital. So we are very indebted to St. Anne's, and we'd like to thank them for their ongoing support.
Yeah, St. Anne's has always been a great community partner. And Mike Bushel, the CEO, he's on the board of the chamber. And he told the story at one of our education meetings once that it just makes me laugh, because he had said to us, it would be helpful to get students into taking more tours of all the employers. And he used the story that a few years back there was a young lady who was really, really excited about being a nurse, really wanted to be a nurse. I think you might have heard this him say the story, Bob. He really, really excited about being a nurse. So she went, she toured St. Anne's Hospital, and at the end she said, that's what nurses do. And the nurses she was talking to was like, yeah. And she says, I don't want to be a nurse. So sometimes it helps on the opposite side. Yeah. You know, you learn, and it's great to learn and see and get exposure to what you really like. But sometimes it's more helpful to find out what you don't like, or to really understand the actual perception of things.
So. Yeah, that's my other favorite story that I've definitely told on the show before and everywhere else I speak pretty much. This is before Robert's time. We had a student that wanted to be in the teaching academy. His family had been in education, and he thought that he wanted to be a teacher. And I agree, everything you said, I agree with 100%. I would also add in avoiding taking on all the debt and time to pursue those careers, not realizing that that's not what you want to do. So he did his internship at our lower school. He realized that he did not like teaching. He did not like managing a classroom full of students. And he switched to the Business and Entrepreneurship Academy and moved on to, he was working with a family member in the trades after graduation. But if he didn't have that experience in a some kind of career exposure program, you know, he might have gone to undergraduate school searching, you know, pursuing an education degree. And in a lot of those programs, you really don't do student teaching until maybe sometimes your master's program.
Right.
So all this debt this kid would have taken on before he actually got into a classroom and realized, oh my God, I don't enjoy this. And that's one of my favorite stories of our entire school, you know, of our entire Career Academy program, is that is so important. Helping kids at least get a sense of what they might want to do and might not want to do. It's, you know, it's fine if their particular pursuit in our Career Academy program, if they, you know, branch off from that, or certainly if they decide that that's not the area that they want to go into, you know, that's as much of a win as a kid really finding their passion.
That's very, very true. So, Bob, why don't you tell us a little bit? We've heard all the great stuff going on at Atlantis Charter School, but why don't you tell us, how does somebody apply?
Yeah, so it's all charter schools in Massachusetts. It's a blind lottery process. There's a one-page application that you can get on the school's website or come pick up from the school. We actually just passed the application deadline for this year, a little bit earlier in February. And at our K-8 level, we have there's a pretty significant waiting list for the school. However, at the high school level, 9 through 12, there are seats available. And with seats available in a charter school, we can take applications all throughout the year. And help enroll students at this point in the year, probably for next school year. But so, you know, we encourage everybody to apply. Again, the application K-8 for next year has already passed. But, you know, parents can send in an application at any time. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the high school and the Career Academy program. You know, I would also just put a plug for the K-8 program at our school, which is a phenomenal program. We've recently completely rehabbed our literacy program at the elementary level with a science-based, a highly regarded literacy program that focuses on phonics, has been shown to do a better job of teaching literacy to young kids. We have a smaller student to teacher ratio. So in any given classroom, you might see 25, 26 kids, and maybe sometimes 3 or 4 teachers. So we invest a lot in the support that our kids need. And over the course of the pandemic and the aftermath of it, we used most of the CARES money, the ESSER money that all schools received, to build an additional 20,000 square feet of instructional space at the school. And we did that because we knew that kids were coming back sort of all over the map in terms of educational attainment. In a fourth grade classroom, you might have a kid reading at a first or second grade level and kids that were accelerated. So we needed more space to be able to have more special education space, more ELL space, to be able to serve kids better. So a lot of exciting stuff going on.
That's great to hear. So I'm Mike O'Sullivan, and we're signing off. And thank you, Robert and Bob. It's been great to learn more about what's happening at Atlantis Charter School. Thank you very much.